Welcome to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and today I'm talking with Sean McLaughlin. He's from the touring production of Evita. Hey guys, welcome back. In this podcast, I'm talking with Sean McLaughlin, who plays Perone in the touring production of Evita. Sean was last seen on Broadway as Raoul in The Phantom of the Opera, and he's from my neck of the woods on the East Coast, from the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Virginia area. And I just love talking to people from my area. I love finding out how they got to where they are. Sean played it real smart before he packed everything up and moved to New York. He went to college at Virginia Tech and got a degree in communications. Then he moved to the D.C. area and did a bunch of theater there because, as he told me, he was a firm believer in not moving to New York without getting experience. But it turns out that something great happened before all that. I'll let him tell the story, but it all comes down to a combination of planning, preparation, and luck. Another cool thing about Sean is that he's traveling with his wife, baby, and two dogs. He said everyone loves it except for his pug, Albert, who's lazy and doesn't like change. So, basically, I have a lot of things in common with Albert. If you need a website, casting director mailing labels, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, we've got all of that and more. And we're trying something new. If you have questions about your career, the site, whatever, send me an email on our contact page, or you can check out the sidebar on the site and look for this big blue Ask Me picture. When you do that, you're going to be able to leave me a quick voicemail, then I might use that in a future podcast. So, you can find all of that stuff out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Sean.
How's the tour going?
Tour's going really well. We've been selling really well. We've got really great response to houses. And everyone's loving the production. Feels great to be part of it.
Yeah. When did you guys started, what, early this summer?
Yeah, a little after, in the September area in Rhode Island. I mean, moved our way out there, yeah. So we had we kept the show in Rhode Island, did the show a couple weeks there, and then Chicago, St. Louis, and here.
How long are you going to do it for?
So far, we've got the full year schedule, and Word on the Street is already selling after that. So, yeah, pretty cool.
That's craziness. So you're going to do it the whole time then?
I mean, yeah, so far. Yeah, I mean, after we're here, I'm in L.A. doing San Diego, doing up the West Coast. Yeah, I've got the dog, the baby, and the wife on tour all together. We're all a family package on the road, seeing the sights and doing the show. Yeah, so we're out here for a bit.
Wow, so you brought everybody with you?
Yeah, my wife and I actually met on the Phantom of the Opera tour, so we love touring.
Yeah.
It's like the band Trapped Family Singers.
And how do the dogs like the touring?
Well, you know, they love it. We got one of the dogs on the road when we were in L.A. the first time. We got her out to Beverly Hills for too much money. And my other dog, Albert, it was ridiculous. My other dog, Albert, I had him a little before, so he's kind of okay with the driving, but you know, he likes to be in one place. He's part pug, so he's lazy and doesn't like change.
You mentioned the audiences. Yeah, people just love this show. You know, can you tell that? Like when you're up on stage, and I mean, just can you tell like how much people love the show?
Yeah, definitely. The little nuances that our tour director, Thor Hain, he added to. What he wanted to see in the forum on top of Michael Grandage's package is the little nuances these audiences are picking up on. They're getting every last detail of it, and they're not getting enough of it. They want more. It's really fascinating. And I mean, I was always in love with Evita, and to be a part of it. It's a wonderful thing, but to see these audiences eating it up, it's amazing that there's new life that turned into. Not just this wonderful score, but this new production.
Do you still get nervous right before you walk out on, for your first entrance?
Sometimes. I work probably about like 58, and that doesn't include the previews and stuff. I think are 58 today.
Okay.
But, yeah, I nervous on things you can't necessarily control. You know, it's a good nervous, but it also keeps you on your toes kind of nervous, where every city is a little different. I mean, we have a lot of stage haze, so you've got the different levels of that, and you've got the different houses and how the sound's going to bounce in each house with the different amount of people in the audience and whatnot. There are little factors that, at least for me, that no one can control, that sometimes keep me a little nervous, but it's a good thing. It always keeps me on edge and keeps me focused, spooking up. But when it comes to, like, speech fright or anything else like that, I don't experience that much anymore. Not since I was, like, in college or maybe a kid.
When you guys go to a new city, do you, like, have a run-through just to get a feel of the house?
We do have a few run-throughs of the music. So we get on stage, we get to feel the stage. We don't have a full run-through of the show like some tours do. This one, we just get out there, we have to feel the stage. Sometimes there are different layouts of like the floor, or like I said before, the house sounds a little different. So the audio folk in the orchestra, because we have a new orchestra in every city, we rehearse with them and get the levels for the first hour and a half of the show, when we're in the space, and then we open that night.
How do you keep your voice in shape? I mean, you guys do, what, 8 shows a week, and the traveling, and plus, you know, the dogs, the baby, you know, just all that stuff combined.
Right.
You know, how do you, like, are you just tons of water, or what are you doing to keep it?
Well, you know, keeping in shape is, of course, you know, not going out partying, of course. You know, it's a very, not that I do that being a dad, you know.
I'll see you guys later. I'm getting drunk. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I take care of, you know, go to the gym, warm up every morning, make sure the voice is in a great place, go to the doctor in some cities because, you know, it is allergy season. And just take care. Just look at different factors. But you have to be very, very careful when you're on tour and make sure that your instrument is still the top of its game. So just being very careful. And water, not so much. I mean, you can always go past the point of no return with water as well, you know. But yeah. Just being careful.
How was your... Tell me about the audition for the show.
It was over a period of a few months. It was a very interesting process. They were, you know, trying to mix and match and see who would all work with who. They had dance calls. They had a few finger calls here and there. We're in front of the producers and everything else like that. My final call back was with all of the producers and musical director and the director, and I was also taped, and they sent my tape to, from what they were telling me, Michael Branch and Andrew Lloyd Webber, who had a good final approval, so I ended up getting approved by them. But yeah, it was probably between 3 to 5 months period of auditions, and basically I sang through the whole of what I have. A couple of times. My audition process was not as thoroughly involved as Caroline and Desi's was. They went through a full gamut. I mean, being a Vita, you have to sing all of that stuff and dance it and everything else like that. So they had a huge ordeal to go through to the gauntlet to fight to get their roles, and their stunning and amazing. They're one of the top, and the number one reason to come see the show besides the full package. They are everything and more as a viewer. Yeah. I can't wait for San Diego and everyone else to see them perform. Yeah.
You know, when you first audition for a show, I mean, not even this one, but any show, do you try to sing a song from that show, or do you bring something else along?
It depends on the audition process. With this, it was, I sang a show from this, songs from the show. But usually, if it's like a first, sometimes second, depends on what they want. If they didn't give you their piece from the show to sing, I would prepare something that is similar to what is there in the score. If it's a new piece, they'll usually tell you something like, oh, it's a contemporary, blah, 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 train sounds like this, and I'll make my own judgments. Or, like I said, they'll just give you a piece from the show, and you prepare it with a vocal coach and go in there and sing it for the first time, which is actually really fun.
Do you like auditioning?
I actually do. I love auditioning. I know a lot of people find it to be many different things. I mean, actors are actors, and they all think of different things in different ways. But for me, it's like presenting a little show of what you can do. And, you know, if you're not working and you're auditioning, there you go. There's your little theater for the day, you know?
Yeah, that's true, yeah, yeah. You know, you're also in another huge production, Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Now, when you do these, you know, sort of massive productions, when you go back and do like a smaller show, is it, I was trying to think of the word, I want to say vacation, but that's not even the right word, but is it like sort of welcoming to do a really small show after, you know, doing big things like this?
Yes, yes, very much so. Like, I started out in the D.C. area at Signature Theater before they moved into their big space. So it was actually a car garage where they used to make bumpers and whatnot. And the space sat a little over 100 people. And I'm actually a huge fan of the intimate space, a little more than the huge spaces, in certain huge spaces. Only because you can get the immediacy from the audience. You can get the feeling and what they're feeling and their reaction in a smaller space. Whereas the larger house, not all of them. Some houses that are too massive, you're on stage and you can't necessarily hear the reaction, so you do kind of feel a little alone out there. I do prefer both. I mean, I don't have a preference necessarily, but I love going back to smaller spaces, you know.
You know, yeah. I saw that you were from the D.C. I'm from Maryland, actually.
Oh, yeah. Right on. What part?
I grew up in Frederick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I've auditioned for, like, all those. I've auditioned for some of the finest theaters in D.C. and never really got any parts there. But, yeah, I remember auditioning for Signature, and, like, Arena Stage, and I did the league auditions.
Yeah.
So how do you go from, like, you know, our area to, like, did you always know you wanted to be an actor? Or, I mean, did you just pack up one day and head to New York or you know, after working down there in Virginia?
I did. I grew up in Petersburg, Virginia, and okay. I always wanted to, you know, be a performer. And my parents got me in it, and, you know, we went through the different things and all the local productions and whatnot. And I didn't care if I was, like, performing out of a cardboard box. I just wanted to perform. I knew I just wanted to do that. So my parents were, you know, they were like, okay, you're going to go to a state college or a local college, but, you know, they stay in state. And they were very supportive of the art, but they were also, you know, they gave me the warning, so can you just, in case you want to find something where, you know, you can actually make money, you want to have a trade, just in case the whole performing doesn't work out. Because I had been doing it all my life, because I was supposed to be acting up. And I went to Virginia Tech for Communications and to study photojournalism, journalism, radio's aspect, editing and film and everything else like that. And then after I got out of college, I tried that route just to try and see if I can get a job in the Richmond area, which, you know, it was an old boys game, kind of. I mean, I needed a lot of experience. I was a kid, and there were no jobs for me at the time back in 99. Uh-huh. I decided to try and do theater. So I got my first show in Richmond at this $25 a show gig doing Violet at this place is now called the Virginia Rep. Now it's an Equity Stage in Richmond, and then moved on and got my Equity card at the Forest Theater doing the Christmas Carol, which is like the Law and Order of the D.C. area, you know. You know, always provide the actors with work, and once I got my Equity card,
sheer madness,
I couldn't work in the area anymore.
Sheer Madness, too, from what I remember. That was a good one to watch. For a couple, yeah.
Exactly. That is definitely the Law and Order
series.
I moved up to D.C. because of the equity card, and found some wonderful work. I mean, the got credit to Cal at Signature, and then did the Sondheim celebration shortly after that. Bali, and got in with a really great group of family out there. So that's what started me. I was a firm believer of not moving to New York without getting experience. I've seen so many people. I saw so many people then, and I still see a lot of people now that just have the determination and the goals to move to New York, kind of lack the discipline of, keeping your ego in check. You have to realize, for me, I'm one of those people who's like, I don't care where, like I said before, if I'm working out of a cardboard box, it's about the ensemble, it's about the family, it's not about you. You can always kind of come across like that. It depends on what kind of show, but it's just how people imagine you being. But I've always seen theater as a family-oriented kind of event, and that's what D.C. gave me. So, I went to D.C. and then moved to New York accidentally after that because I landed my first Broadway gig before I actually lived there.
No way, that's awesome.
It was a great pleasure. It was. I was seen by... a casting folk out in, actually it was out in California, I was working in Disneyland because Eric Schaefer directed Snow White out in Disneyland, and he's like, hey, you want to come out to Disneyland? I was like, yes, Disneyland, fantastic. And while I was on Disneyland for about a year, I got an audition for the replacement in Bombay Dreams, and I landed that and immediately had to move to New York, so yeah, that was a full gamut from then on out. It was work begat work, and I was very lucky, or like I always like to say, it was a bad Facebook post. I was so blessed,
So how do you like living in New York? Well, you're not now for another year, but I mean, when you're there.
Right. I loved it. I love it. New York is a great fast place, paced place. Actually, my wife and I got off the road, and we went back to New York and defended the opera there for a few months. And Broadway is always great and everything. Having a baby now, New York is a little different. We live down in Brooklyn, so we are a nice family area, and it's wonderful. But we're trying to figure out, how the adults do it in New York now. Where do we go? Do we move to the outskirts of Connecticut or New Jersey, and that's what all the adults with families do, or do we stay where we are? But it's changed being a dad now, and not being the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kid going out being like, oh, I'm in New York now.
I had to cut the interview short because our conversation got cut off. Sean went to a dead spot and his cell phone died. When he called me back, it had some sort of weird echoing sound, and it would have just driven you mental if you listened to the rest of it. But you can check the rest of the interview out on the site. Anyway, thanks, Sean, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor, and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.